Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening. This is Jennifer Hellman, your host for AIR, Abstract Illusion Radio, where we explore and expose the different aspects of the human art. Tonight is a bit of an anniversary for AIR. 6 months ago, I had my first guest, and it was this lovely lady, Jennifer Hoffman. She's joining me again, and it is a great honor. Jennifer Hoffman is an intuitive spiritual healer, a mentor, teacher, and author. She channels the energy of Archangel Uriel. She's helped many people through the shift through her unique insights and counsel. Jennifer is the founder of www.urielheals.com, an online spiritual healing and growth center, and dedicated to the messages and teachings of Archangel Uriel. Information about her books, online workshops, and services is available on her website, or you can email her at healing@urielheals.com. For more information, Jennifer Hoffman will be taking calls. Tonight we have a very interesting conversation, but first I want to welcome Jennifer and thank you for being on yet again.
Thank you, Jen. I'm so glad to be a part of your show again. I didn't realize that it was 6 months ago.
I didn't realize till right before I came on the show. I'm counting my fingers. I'm going, hey, it's been 6 months.
And congratulations. I know
you had
a very successful show, so I'm really happy for you.
Recently in one of your wonderful newsletters, which I hope everybody signs on to get every Monday morning, you mentioned something about emotional DNA, and I wanted to hear more about that tonight.
Okay.
What exactly is it?
Well, emotional DNA is the combination of emotional energies that we bring with us when we're born. And they combine the emotional memories, the emotional experiences, the karma, all of the emotional energy that is part of our spiritual journey, but that's part of our soul's journey. So we have not only the, for example, we carry in it the history, like our parents give us a certain deal of, you know, a certain amount of emotional DNA, but also everything that we have ever experienced. And the way it was shown to me, it's literally wrapped within our DNA, our physical DNA. So it's part of our physical being in the sense that it kind of carries the emotional imprint that we have when we come into any lifetime.
Okay. So basically, it's there, and I mean, it's kind of like the baggage that's just like clinging on to our DNA.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of baggage, and depending on who you are, there could be more or less baggage. But it's also, it's really, how we define it is really a matter of how we interpret. You know, we interpret things as good or bad, right or wrong.
Right.
So how we choose to interpret and use it will determine whether it works for us or against us.
Okay. Now, does emotional DNA have anything to do with the lessons we're here to learn?
Absolutely. It really, Archangel Uriel described it as the storehouse of your emotional energies from all of your lifetimes. So all the lessons we've experienced, all the emotions that were attached to those lessons, any kind of emotional processing or emotional energy that we carry is stored within our emotional DNA.
Okay.
For example, if you're not a person who is angry or prone to anger or has a great deal of anger within them, it's probably because your emotional DNA doesn't have much of that energy within it. You might have some, but you're not a person who is always raging or always angry.
Right.
If
so you
are, then that's part of your experience. But you also probably are from a family that has that. And if you look within your soul group, you have a lot of angry people in your soul group as well.
Okay, let's back up with the different kinds of groups that you're talking about. there's karma, there's karma history, and there's soul groups. Can you define the roles of each one?
Okay. Your soul group is the group of souls that you incarnate with every lifetime. And your soul group basically is, within your soul group, you have each agreed to teach each other lessons. So you are always part of each other's lessons. And within different lifetimes, you change roles. I may be your mother in one lifetime. You may be my father in another lifetime. You switch off, and you have different lessons to learn. So all those lessons you have to learn are contained within your emotional DNA. And within your soul group, you share a lot of emotional DNA. Karma is kind of the emotion, you know, the kind of back and forth, the give and take that we bring into every lifetime. And when karma is played out, I kill you in this lifetime, you're going to kill me in the next one. Or I leave you and devastate you romantically, so in the next one, I'm the mother who beats you. Karma is that kind of eye for an eye. It's a very ancient energy, but it's that kind of eye for an eye that we now have the opportunity to heal. It's the reason many of us come back over and over again within that same soul group, is to heal the karma that we have created between the people in our soul group.
Okay, so the karma history is basically what you were describing of, mm-hmm. I killed you in the last life, so this time you're going to devastate my business and get back at me that way.
Right, right.
Okay.
The karmic history is kind of like, it's almost like an Akashic record. It's a little bit a record of everything that's ever been done to us, by us, in spite of us, for us, by anybody in our lifetime.
Okay. So within this, the karmic history and stuff, is there certain patterns that keep popping up, or is it the individual has certain DNA patterns that are here to be healed in this lifetime?
Absolutely. Say many people have this issue, certainly many light workers now. Many people have an issue with abandonment. So within this issue of abandonment, you have very strong triggers in your emotional DNA that respond to abandonment. So say you've been abandoned as a child, and then in the next lifetime you're that person's father and you abandon them. So they come back as your lover and they abandon you. This carries over again and again, and there are themes within emotional DNA. And if you look at your lifetimes, and I can see when I do readings for people, I'll look at their karmic history, and I see there are repeated themes, and they're generally, you know, two or three of them, abandonment. There's, like issues that are around fear. There's, like, poverty issues. There's learning to, power issues, learning to stand up for themselves. Those are themes that you carry within your emotional DNA. And one of the reasons that it's coming up now is because it's time for us to heal this, and it's time for us to resolve these issues so we get them. And in this lifetime in particular, for many light workers, it's time for them to resolve these issues, not only for themselves, but as they resolve them for themselves, they also resolve them for their soul group, or at least create that opening for them to heal.
Now, it is possible if somebody in their soul group wants to hold on to it, they can.
Oh, absolutely.
So if they hold on to it, does it still generate the other person who wants to heal it? Are they going to be able to heal it?
You know, one thing Uriel always says is karma is like a dance, and when one person stops dancing, that dance is over. So one thing that happens when you decide to heal this emotional DNA and you decide to step out of that karmic pattern with that person and not deal with them within the context of those issues, is that they can no longer connect with you at that level. For example, the only way I can be angry with my mother for abandoning me is if I have not forgiven her and I still have that connection to abandonment. So once I heal that issue and once I close that connection, there's no more, she has no ability to connect with me at that level because there's no connection.
Right. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't connect with you on other levels. It doesn't mean because you healed it, you're no longer going to speak to your mother again, correct?
That's true, yeah. I mean, she can still connect on different levels, but that particular emotional issue that has created probably lifetimes of karma between us and lifetimes of hurt and pain, it's healed. And no matter what, every other level of communication or connection is open, but that particular one is closed. And if you come here to heal that with her, what probably happens is you have a particularly difficult lesson in that area. So there will be abandonment. There will be issues where she doesn't stand up for you. She doesn't take care of you. She isn't there for you emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. And it's only because that issue has come up for healing, and that part of your emotional DNA needs to be taken care of.
Now, there are some people in your soul group, once you're done, they're like gone,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes that's the biggest blessing.
It can be. It can be, because once you heal certain aspects of your soul group and you do enough healing, then you can go out and you can create a new soul group. And I found that's what a lot of light workers are doing, is they're healing their families of origin or dealing with issues within their families of origin. And maybe their family doesn't speak to them anymore. Maybe these people just don't have anything to do with them. And they go out into new communities, and they're creating new families.
Right.
New people with whom they interact, who become their family.
Now, all of this is definitely about the spiritual growth. And there is a huge shift going on right now to really push light workers and other people who just want to wake up
mm-hmm.
to make this shift, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and it is very, very strong right now. A lot of people are being pushed, some truly beyond what they feel are their limits of tolerance, to healing and to growth and to letting go of a lot of these issues and healing their emotional DNA. It's quite strong right now.
So, if they're going through the shift, can you mention some of the quote-unquote symptoms of that being part of the scenario of what they're going through?
I
understand it varies from person to person.
Mm-hmm. One of there's several aspects of the shift when you know you're going through the shift. One is that things will literally in your life seem like they're falling apart, or things that were never a problem before suddenly become a problem. People who once were maybe semi-friendly to you now don't speak to you anymore, or you find yourself in the center of some drama with someone. The shift is all about, you know, healing our emotional DNA, resolving our karma, you know, changing the way we look at ourselves and the world and our place in the world. Most of what the shift centers around is our level of responsibility for, you know, our lives and our sense of personal power.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, symptoms that kind of go on around you. Physical symptoms can happen too. One of them is, that I've noticed lately, is feeling really nauseous or feeling really tired or gaining weight.
Yes, we talked about that earlier.
Yes, I gain 5 to 10 pounds every time the energy shifts, and
mm-hmm.
as soon as the energy shifting, it goes away. Gaining weight, having really odd cravings for food. I'm not a junk food eater, but in the last week I have consumed a lot more junk food, I think, than I've consumed in the last 2 years, and it's just that's something that's new for me. But cravings for food, or even food allergies, where suddenly something that you used to eat just absolutely no longer agrees with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This feeling either like having lots of energy or having no energy at all, where you just don't feel like doing anything. And one of the symptoms that's very strong with a lot of people, especially when they're being downloaded or they're really doing a lot of internal work or energetic work, is they just get very tired. But tired to the point of absolute exhaustion, where they have no choice, they have to go to bed. And my advice is, you know, when that happens, go to bed, get some rest, because there's really nothing else you can do but rest in those cases.
Yes. It's something that I've noticed with a lot of my clients is the shift is really hitting financial support. It's like they lose their job, they have to change location, things of that nature. Are you finding that also part of this shift for your clients as well?
Mm-hmm. I'm finding the financial support. There are like three key areas. One is financial support, where they lose jobs or they suddenly don't like their job anymore. They start getting pulled out of their job. For some people, it's slow. For some people, it's really fast. Another area is this need to do something different. A lot of people I work with really want to start their own business or really are being guided to look into starting a business or doing something, especially doing something really creative. And then the third area is you know, in the area of relationships. Relationships are literally falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to mention a lot of people are moving. And sometimes the moves are quite unexpected, but there's a lot of, we hold a lot of energy in the earth grids, and we're literally being moved. We're literally being moved to the areas where our energy is best used, or that is more in sync with our personal energy, or where we're needed. And when that happens, it's like somehow the door opens and we move.
Right. So with all the shifting and all the emotional, I mean, what is the actual process of healing and transforming our DNA? Is there anything we can do to help it? I mean, obviously if they're downloading, we're just going to basically got to listen to our bodies.
Well, one of the reasons, I guess I should start with, one of the reasons that this is happening and the whole issue of emotional DNA is coming up is because our physical DNA is changing, you know, where it's being changed from the three strands that we know of to, you know, 12 strands that it's supposed to be, and a lot of our DNA is being activated. And as it's being activated, as those additional strands are being brought to life, our emotional DNA that is kind of wrapped around our, you know, wrapped in with our physical DNA, suddenly is kind of getting in the way of that process. And the when I was shown what it looks like to me, it looks like literally strands of barbed wire. And every issue that we have is like a little barb on it, and it just as we're moving, and it's very third dimensional. It's very much in the material plane. So as we're moving into these higher levels of vibration, what didn't used to matter before, or what really wasn't important, or what didn't have to be, you know, what really we could, it come to our attention. Oh yeah, I have an issue there, and then it would just, no, okay, I won't deal with this. Well, that doesn't, it's like it's standing in the way of us really going into these higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming up. And as we heal the issues, as we look at the issues and work on them, and we can work on them by ourselves, we can work on them with an energy worker. Sometimes it's doing a reading, getting a reading from someone will help. You know, the way, again, as you said, it's individual. So we all heal in different ways. One of the best ways of healing it is to, you know, learn to kind of take a step back when emotional issues come up, and to recognize that they are coming up for review and they are coming up for us to help fix them, and then to, you know, go into that experience with the mindset and the intention of looking for where the healing needs to occur, and then applying the healing. And if we can't do it then, we'll get to do it the next time because it will come up again. This is really,
mm-hmm.
really important.
So, getting a reading, getting some energy work, you suggested, helps with the healing. Now, is it just you don't have triggers anymore and you know that's when it's been transformed or healed?
I think the triggers are always there because they're kind of part of your core issues. But instead of an, oh my God, what's happening, this is terrible reaction, when you don't have that emotion, when you don't have that emotional DNA and it can't be activated, your reaction is different. You tend to kind of look at things and go, oh, well, that's interesting. Here we go. Here's an issue that I've seen for all my whole life, and look, it's come up again. And you know when it's healed when things that used to bother you or things that could just set you off or set you into fear just don't bother you anymore, or they don't, you don't react to them. You look at them and go, okay, this was an issue, and look, now it's here it is, and it's okay. When you can look at your life and the people in your life and yourself with compassion and empathy and understanding, that's when you know you've really healed it. And that only comes when you've done the work and you can't fake it. I mean, I had more readings today where people said, well, what's the shortcut? There are no shortcuts. We have to go through this process from the beginning to the end. But
right.
When you truly have compassion for people and you find that you can't get into fear anymore over things, that's when you know you've healed it. And there, you know, there, we all have lessons. We will continue to have lessons, or that's what we're here for. But you look at the lessons in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said the term get into fear. Do you mean like a form of denial, panic? What do you mean by getting into fear?
Okay, let's look, because this is something a lot of people are experiencing, let's look at losing your job, because it's a
okay.
lot of people are experiencing a job loss. You lose your job, or you find out you're getting laid off, or you find out your job is ending. When you have that issue, and it only would come up for you because this is an issue in your life that you need to work on, it can trigger all kinds of, you know, denial, emotional DNA issues, fear, the abandonment issues, you know, the whole financial, maybe if you have poverty issues, here you go, now you're into what am I going to do, how am I going to find a new job. All of those things get triggered with this particular aspect. And you have a choice. You can either look at it and say, okay, my job is ending because I know that another job is coming to me and that this one has to end so that one can step in, which is the response you have when you've healed your emotional DNA and you actually don't have these issues anymore. Or when you get into fear, you go the other way. What's going to happen to me? How am I going to manage this? Now what am I going to do? I may lose my job. I may lose my house. My kids will be starving. And there is no hope. It's like, this is the worst thing that happened to me. I know God hates me. Everybody hates me. And I don't know what I'm going to do next. When you go into that, when you get into fear and you get into that energy, it's like nothing can happen except all the terrible things that you think are going to happen. And one of the reasons this is happening to you is because you have issues in this area. You have power issues. You have an inability, and you come in to fix it, but you have an inability to see the positive side of situations, or to see that, you know, everything has a purpose, and that purpose is generally wonderful, as long as you don't allow fear to literally blind you to the fact that something has to end before something else can begin.
So basically, all this negative or so-called, at first glance, negative situations are really blessings.
Yeah.
Because they really are showing, I wouldn't say weaknesses, but areas that you're shining a light on so you can clear it out. So new energy or something more suited to you is coming in.
You know, I always have to laugh when I have a miracle coaching program and people ask for miracles. And then they'll call me and say, I lost my job, or something happened with my house. I have to move. There are these big changes in my life. You know, I asked for changes in the people I hang out with, and now my friends aren't talking to me anymore. Because in order for something to come in, something has to leave. And as you transform the energy in your life, it transforms everything.
Right.
And it's sometimes hard to see beyond the immediate of what's happening and look at you know, kind of look beyond that and go, okay, this is happening, but there's something else coming behind it, and I just have to not become afraid of what's happening and see that there is something bigger and better behind it.
Now, do you have clients that actually ask for something, they get it in a different form, and they call you freaking out? And you just have to calm them down and say, but this is what you asked for.
Yes, yes. Or they'll get it. I had one client, very interesting story, who couldn't make his health payment. And his health payment was quite high, and that was his miracle. And he said, well, how am I going to get this money? And I said, you know, you have to believe in that it's going to come, but you're not going to get money. But I'll just tell you, your payment will be made. It'll just be in a kind of an unusual way. And his mortgage company had called him during that week, and I guess they had sold his loan to another company who didn't have their accounting system set up. So they called him and told him not to make his house payment, and they just put it at the end of his loan. And, one of the things I teach people, you know, teach my clients, is that the universe has the most amazing ways of fulfilling our wishes and bringing to us what we've asked for. And
mm-hmm.
We can't limit ourselves by looking at it and thinking, okay, it has to happen this way. We just have to be completely open to the miracles that the universe can create and know that it's far more creative than we are.
All right, it's interesting. I recently just threw out to you, I wish people would invite me to be a part of different things. And I've gotten invitations to do psychic fairs. I've gotten invitations to be part of committees and all these different kinds of invitations to be involved are coming up. And I just said, I want to get more involved with my community. I wish somebody would, and just out of the blue, all these little miracles are happening. And I just say, I asked for it. Thank you very much. Yes, I would like to do that.
Good. That's wonderful.
And the one thing that I know you agree with me on this one is gratitude. Show your gratitude for the miracles, and they will give you more and more of them.
Right. The other part of it, too, is you just asked for it. You didn't follow that by saying, oh, but nobody's going to invite me, and even if they invite me, they won't like me, or I won't like them, or I'll be part of the group, and they'll make me do all the work. Something like that can, you know, putting yourself out there can trigger a lot of emotional DNA issues, because all of us who came here to be teachers and healers have a lot of history, of emotional history, of being betrayed, of being tortured, of being banished from our communities, of being ridiculed or even killed for being spiritual teachers and healers. And this kind of call for us to go out and to be more involved and to be more part of our communities or be more active in teaching can bring up a lot of emotional DNA issues around that, all those past life experiences where we have done that and we have really, really suffered and paid very high prices for being spiritual teachers.
Well, it is interesting because I did have, in the past, that you say I'd be involved with something, and I literally would kind of like have to take control. And this time I'm saying, I'll be a part of it, and I'm just going to see where it goes.
Good.
I've learned that lesson not to assume that I'll have to take every, you know, it's that Aries energy in me to be the leader. But I just take it easy, and it really is an interesting, wonderful shift that I'm feeling right now. I do want to remind our callers that you are taking calls tonight, and the number is 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. You mentioned that you have a lot of different services. Would you like to go over a few of those services? Because I know right now you're teaching a lot of workshops.
I'm teaching seminars. I give teleseminars right now because of the winter we had here. My travel schedule has been a little limited. I'm going to start teaching actually doing in-person seminars of starting, I'm here in June, so maybe starting in June of this year. Most of the readings and the work that I do is by phone because I have clients all over the world. I do a miracle coaching program, which is an 8-week program that is geared towards helping people remove the blocks to how they to their ability to create miracles. We all have the ability to create miracles. Every one of us has this ability, and no one, and Uriel says this a great deal, no one has any more power than anybody else. We all have exactly, we're connected to the same source, we are all the same. We all have exactly the same amount of power. It's how we use it that differs.
Mm-hmm.
So miracle coaching is kind of an opportunity to help clients find that power that they have and connect to it and then learn how to make it work in their lives to create what they want. And I've had some amazing results. People have manifested money, cars, a house payment, relationships. A lot of people actually have also, you know, just used it to gain clarity about what they want, about their life direction, about their purpose. I also have a spiritual mentoring program. It's 4 weeks, and that is just to help a client through a difficult issue. Say they need clarity on a job or a housing matter, or they want more, they want to understand their spiritual gifts, anything that they want to work on, and I really leave it up to the client. We spend an hour a week for 4 weeks, and everybody gets clarity. Everybody gets the answer. And
mm-hmm.
I do readings. I have books, e-books that are actually, and I'm getting ready to publish some books that will be finished by May.
Excellent. Excellent. And your readings are also very, very popular, and I've done some readings with you as well, and they've been wonderful and helpful. So I do recommend.
Thank you.
We do have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hello, hi, Chris.
Hello, for Jennifer.
Yes, it's two Jennifers. What's your question for Jennifer?
Oh, it's Christina. And I really don't have a question specific, but I feel there might be a message.
Okay. I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry, I didn't get what you asked me.
I don't have a very specific question. I just wanted to call in and see if I have a message.
If you have a message?
Yeah, do I have a message?
Yeah. Are you involved with children? Because I see children around you.
Well, I am a grandma.
Okay. You have a really special connection with your grandchildren. You love being a grandmother, first of all.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, this is like a heaven period. It's like this period of your life makes everything you've gone through worth it.
And that's absolutely correct, including the wrinkles.
Do you have a 6-year-old grandchild?
I have a 9-year-old granddaughter.
Okay. I see a 6-year-old child around you, someone who's six, or the number six, so I'm not sure if it's...
I have a granddaughter born in the 6th month.
I'm not sure of it.
June?
No.
20th? And then I have a granddaughter born in September in 96. No, 98, sorry.
I don't know what this... I just see a six around you, like... I don't know if you're going to have 6 grandchildren or...
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah. You know, you are a very strong and positive influence for your grandchildren. And that's kind of the reason they're around you. They're also very close to you. You have this special connection. And not just to your own grandchildren, but to kind of children in general. Don't be surprised when children kind of flock to you or kind of look at you, or they just want to be close to you, even if, you know, you're not. They're little stranger children. They just, you have an energy that really attracts children.
That's because I see their greatness.
Mm-hmm. If you aren't writing children's books, or you aren't, I see you doing a play, a children's play, it's something that you should really start doing.
Okay. On life experiences or just goofy stuff?
Well, anything you write about would be extremely positive and uplifting for them. So anything that you write about that, you know, what kind of, were you kind of like the, it's going to sound funny, were you kind of like an ugly duckling when you were a child? You almost felt like you were...
I was a wallflower.
Yeah.
I thought I was.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know I was just a kid, but I had very low self-esteem.
Almost like you were put in the wrong family.
Ooh, interesting.
So mm-hmm. that's like a very, I mean, and a lot of children feel like that. They feel, because you're going to write for like the little indigo and crystal children who really feel different and who really feel out of sorts and just like they're born in the wrong time, the wrong place, to the wrong people, and nobody understands them. That's something you relate to very, very well. And I think that's something that you should definitely pursue because it'll be quite successful for you, but also very helpful for children.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess I will dedicate it to the Jennifers in my life.
Or have a Jennifer in your story.
Have a Jennifer in my story. Oh, yep, I see her. So, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I just felt like calling, and I hadn't talked to you, Jen, in a while. And I was on the first time you called in to the guest, Jennifer, and so I was just saying, I appreciate you both.
I appreciate you, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. Happy
All
writing.
Right. Love you.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
How is the shift affecting kids?
Mm. You know, it's been very, you know, children, especially like indigo and crystal children, are very sensitive to energies. So when the energies shift, like when we feel it, they do too, and they feel it a lot more intensely than we do. So if you see your children kind of acting up, or they're kind of, you know, they're kind of weepy, or they're just like fussy, you know, and this applies to, you know, little babies through teenagers, they're feeling the effects of the shifts too. One of the things that helps, you know, the younger children is like to take a warm Epsom salts bath, like, you know, put a cup of Epsom salts or half a cup of Epsom salts, depending on how old the child is, in a bath with some warm water, and that'll help kind of ground the energies and stabilize the energies. The other is they, with this time, and you know, something you can do for your children, is they need a lot of reassurance, and you know, just putting them in your lap and just rocking or just holding them or, you know, spending some quiet time together is very helpful. Another thing I've noticed with clients is those who have, you know, children, routine is really important to them. So when these energies are shifting, you know, they can get a little out of balance, like having a bedtime routine or having, you know, knowing that they're going to eat dinner at the same time most nights, or just having a routine for their life is very grounding for them and very settling. I had a client who was having a terrible time with her children, and bedtime was horrible, just absolutely horrible. And we talked about some strategies for bedtime and some things she could impose, including letting her oldest child stay up an extra 5 minutes and have 5 minutes of alone time with either his mother or his father. And it was, she said, after two or three nights, it was amazing. Her children were in bed by 8 o'clock, and it was amazing for their household because now all of a sudden she and her husband had, you know, several hours together, whereas mm-hmm. before they'd spent that time running around with their children because they were just all over the place. So structure, routine, and understanding that they feel these shifts in the energy as much as we do, and sometimes even more.
So that applies also to pets as well, correct?
Yeah, I don't have any pets, but pets do feel the energy.
I know mine does.
And I will say, too, that for people to remember that pets also process emotional energy for us.
Oh, definitely.
And we, you know, if you're not dealing with your own issues and you're not dealing with issues that come up in your life, your pet is dealing with them for you. And just to be aware that, you know, this is something that pets, you know, cats and dogs, you know, all pets, but mainly cats and dogs, you know, agree to do for us, but mm-hmm. it can be very, very hard on them.
And it can be very hard on you. I can personally vouch that I had a dog who took on an issue that I just was not dealing with too well, and he did a beautiful job with it, and I'm very grateful for his presence in my life. So it's definitely animals are healing angels. They definitely represent a lot of unconditional love, and they're teachers and healers as well as human beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
With all the shifts, I mean, is there any timeline to this shift? Because I've read many different people saying, well, it's going to be done in the spring, but yet it could travel all the way through 2008.
Well, I will say that the shift, at, you know, the timeline is going to end in stages, and some things will overlap. So the information I have says that by March, which is, you know, next month, I'm going to say by the middle to the end of March, or certainly by the solstice, which is like the 21st or the 22nd, most of the people who have been doing a lot of spiritual work and a lot of shifting, and some people call them first wavers, and these are people who've been working on these issues for 5, 10 years or longer, will be done. And they're going to find themselves in, certainly in a very positive place as far as they'll be living where they're supposed to live. They'll find that things in their life will be going very smoothly. I see a lot of people getting ready to step into what I call kindred spirit relationships, you know, relationships with a partner that, because it's time for us to be paired up with someone whose energy matches ours and who can balance us. And that could be, you know, it could be heterosexual, right. It could be homosexual. I mean, there's no gender in the universe. The people who have not been doing their work and who have been putting it off are going to find that, like, from early March, I'm going to say through September, is going to be incredibly difficult for them. Then there's the kind of through 2008, there are people who are going to start being shown that they have work to do. And that's why it's important for, you know, those of us who are teachers, healers, who know this is what we came to do, we're going to start being pushed out there into more and more of a public place, because this is where our work is. We've gone through this. We've experienced it. We don't get to go home. We don't get to leave because we have agreed to go through it, and now we have to turn around and help the people who are coming behind us.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, we do have a caller. Hello, caller.
Okay. Hello, how you doing?
Just fine. What's your name?
Ernie.
Ernie, thank you for calling. What's your question?
I just wanted to know if I had any messages.
If you had any messages? I see a little girl around you. Do you have children?
Excuse me?
You have children. I see a little girl around you.
I have a son.
Okay. Is there another one on the way? You hope not.
No, I do. I do hope. I just got married not too long ago, so.
Okay. I see a child, a little girl around you. I think this is going to be a very special child. No, you have a lot of dreams, things that you're thinking about, but you're not, like, working on yet. It's like, you know, one of those things is you're driving around going, God, I wish I was doing this, or I could be doing that. You have a couple things that are coming up for you, and I want to say you're going to work on them now. By September, I see you really happy with the way your life is going and very successful. Are you, like, thinking of starting a company, or you're creative, you have great ideas. I don't know if you're going to patent something or come up with something really great.
Well, I work, I want to work with kids, you know, with helping kids out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
you know, you are very, very creative. Some of those things you think about, you really need to start putting them into practice, or, like, getting them down on paper, because you're extremely creative.
Right.
You daydream, though.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like they're little, like, balloons above you and or little bubbles, and you just, like, bring a couple of those down to earth.
Right.
And put them, you know, make them a reality, because those are kind of like the key to your success.
I just got married this summer.
Good.
You see anything? Can you tell me anything?
What's your wife's name?
Alexa. She's in Peru right now.
You know, it's funny you said she was in Peru, because I was going to say that there's, like, you need to be more communicative. You need to communicate more. Is she coming over?
No, I'm going. Yeah, she is eventually, but I'm going in about 2 weeks for spring break. I work at the university, so.
Okay. So do you want to know if this is going to work or if you've made the right decision?
Right, exactly.
I think you're a little nervous about this, because this is kind of, I want to say, new territory for you.
Right.
But you need to, what's really important for you is to not be in your head so much, and to, you know, really spend time with this woman, spend time with her, Alexa, and, you know, be emotionally available too. You tend to not be too emotionally available.
Right.
But make sure that you know, it's going to be some work for you at first, but make sure that you take the time to put your emotions out there, because she will be a good partner for you. I see her being very, I want to say, family-oriented.
Yes.
And very, very good, like, with the home. I mean, she's going to be excellent at creating a home for you and making it really nice, and there's going to be a lot of love in your home. She's a very loving person.
But you
need to, you know, contribute to that by making sure that you're really emotionally available with her.
Right.
Well, good.
Can I just ask one more thing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, she's a lot younger than I am. Is that going to be a problem?
Is it going to be a problem? No.
Make it one.
Yeah. I think you wear your age very well.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because I don't see you looking like you're as old as you are.
Right.
So
yeah,
you look like you're in your 30s.
Oh, okay. Well, thank
not,
you.
Not 30, like maybe, you know, like 38, 39.
Right.
But you look a lot younger than you are. I think
Am I on the right spiritual path?
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, your path is really about using your gifts. Like I said, you're very creative. Using your gifts and being kind of an example to others. You know,
right.
Spiritual work doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put your hands on people and heal them. Spiritual work takes many, many different forms. And, you know, being an inspiration to others, you know, doing things that are helpful, creating, you know, creating car seats. I mean, how much spiritual is that? You know, it takes different forms. So worry less and just, you know, trust your intuition, because your intuition is actually pretty good. You have an issue with being accepted. That's one of your emotional DNA issues, is you know, being accepted by others and being appreciated.
Right.
So, you know, just know that that's an issue that you have, and sometimes that causes you to close yourself off to other people.
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, in your marriage with this woman, you can't do that with her, because it will destroy your marriage.
Okay.
And so you have to make sure that, you know, you communicate with her a lot, you're very open with her, and that you, you know, you always kind of maintain that emotional availability.
Yeah.
She won't necessarily, she's young. Is she in her 20s?
Yes.
Okay. She is really young.
Yes, yeah. She just turned 29.
Yeah. But, you know, isn't always going to tell you, but you're going to feel it. She puts
right.
off a lot of emotional energy. You're going to feel it when she's not, you know, totally satisfied with what you're doing. You need to, like, keep that communication open.
Right.
So, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling in and listening.
Thanks
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. God bless you all.
Bless you.
You too.
Bye.
Now, is there anything you want to summarize? The time is almost up, believe it or not. About emotional DNA, things they should look out for, like drink lots of water, or make sure you get exercise, anything like that?
Yeah, those are all really important, especially as we're going through all these issues. Our emotional DNA is being triggered, it's coming up for healing, and we're going all through this whole inner energy shift, which can be really difficult because it's very ungrounding. You know, it's not comfortable to put on an extra 5 to 10 pounds. and feel, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it. But a really important thing to remember is that, you know, the universe doesn't hate us, and it doesn't, you know, have it in for us that these are things that are happening because we are on this really accelerated growth path towards the shift, and the ultimate goal of the shift is for us to move to higher levels of consciousness. You know, this whole 3D, the whole 3D reality is starting to lose its luster. It's starting to become old hat. And if we look at, you know, things that come up and realize that, okay, these are issues that are important to me, that are important to my growth, it kind of helps us to not get, you know, go into fear and focus only on what's happening, but instead, you know, look at it from a spiritual aspect and realize that, okay, this is a situation that is a blessing. Where is the blessing? And I've heard you say that before, you know, look for the blessing. Where's the blessing? And if you look for the blessing, you'll always find it because it's there. And then you can work with that and realize that, okay, this is coming up. There's a healing that can occur here. Where can I heal? How can I transform this? And how can I benefit from it? Use the blessing to move forward on my path.
That's wonderful wisdom. And I want to thank you, Jennifer, for being on the show. Jennifer Hoffman can be reached at yarelheals.com, and her email is healing@yarelheals.com. I want to thank you very much. I appreciate your presence and your essence on air. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Jen. I'm very honored to be on your six-month anniversary.
Well, thank you very much. Next week we have Kelly Rosano, who is an astrologer and also a business coach. She's going to be talking about the upcoming aspects influencing us now that we've had two very strong eclipses in February. And I am Jennifer Hellman. My website is angelsintuition.com. I am available for intuitive coaching. And I want to thank you for listening to AIR. Until next time, with each breath of air, gain new insights and inspiration. Thank you, many blessings, and good night.
BBS Radio.